Good afternoon. This is Feminist International Radio Endeavor at the AWID Forum in Cape Town, November, I think, 2008. And we are here bringing the voices of women from this forum to all of you. Today we are with Marieme Eli Lucas. And we are going to be talking with Marieme, the fantastic woman, feminist from many, many, many years of fighting against human rights violations and fundamentalisms. So today we'll be talking about why secularism is a woman's issue. So Marieme, you want to start with that?
We need to have secularism because there is religious fundamentalism, which oppresses women in so many ways. I would like to define fundamentalism not as a religious movement, but as a political movement of an extreme right nature, at least ranging from very conservative to far right, which uses religion and culture to gain political power, i.e. to impose on everybody, every citizen, their personal beliefs and their conceptions of politics as extreme right politics. We need secularism against their power, because secularism is the separation of religion and the state. In other words, using the French Revolution definition of secularism, the state guarantees to everybody freedom of belief and freedom of practice, but the state does not interfere with religion, and vice versa. Religion has no political power within the state. We could also say that the state declares itself incompetent in matters of religions and keep away from religions. It's not within its mandate. So if we had a secular state, we may not have rights to abortion, because people could still vote against the right to abortion, but at least it will be by the will and vote of the people, and not because anybody says God said so. I think secularism is the essence of democracy. In my country, which is Algeria, we have Muslim fundamentalists who attempt and have not yet succeeded fully to occupy the state space. What they want really is a theocracy. In other words, the laws will be supposedly inspired by God. It should be like quote-unquote divine laws, which are ahistorical and unchangeable. And at the opposite of the spectrum, we have democracy in the strictest sense of the term, which is that laws are changeable by the will and vote of the people. Therefore, they are historical, and they represent people's will.
And people can change them when they're no longer useful, right?
Absolutely. Well, we all know that laws are the reflection of mores, social mores, and that's why they evolve. When it's supposedly divine, it's defined once and for all. So for me, secularism is the essence of democracy. There cannot be democracy without secularism.
And why is it a woman's issue?
Because all religions oppress women and silence women in the name of God also. You can't say this and this and that, because God, which is so far above you, forbid this or that. So it's all in our interest to realize that we have the power to make our own laws, regardless of what gods, goddesses, prophets and prophetesses think about it. I know that in the feminist movement there has been at some point some trend to turn God into a goddess. I think it's just as dangerous, as far as I'm concerned.
But why is that there is such resistance from the feminist movement to really understand secularism as a feminist issue or a woman's issue?
I think it's changing. I think it's changing precisely with the rise of fundamentalisms, because this is so brutal to women. I can probably more talk about Muslim fundamentalism because that's the one I know best. The fundamentalist view of Islam, regardless of whether one is a believer or not, I'm sure we will all agree on this, is to take back women centuries ago, literally at the times of the Prophet in Arabia, right? 14 centuries ago. Who wants to go back to that? It's interesting because progressive interpreters of the Quran point at the fact that, for instance, to see what the Quran says, be kind to your slave, is a progress, obviously, at a time when you could kill your slave without any anybody blinking, may I say, or beat your wife lightly when you could kill your wife. It's also a progress, but it doesn't mean that one should stand for slavery today or for wife beating today. So this is history. And if we go back 14 centuries ago, we stop history and we stop evolving and we stop all the gains that social movements, including the women's movement, have gained and all the progress made. So it's really fixing a life at some point in tradition without any possible evolution. That's why I see it in the beginning that divine laws are ahistorical.
And we feminists have been fighting against interpretations of anything that is ahistorical, right? Of traditions, of culture, of medicine, of whatever. We have to divide it because it usually is done by the powerful, by those that have an interest in keeping things, keeping women down and keeping others down. So, but I want you to talk to us also about this move within the UN that is also dangerous. You know.
I'll come to that in a minute. I want to talk to you about the fact that Europe and North America are now under such a pressure by fundamentalist groups. Again, I'll be talking from my point of view, which is Muslim fundamentalism, but I'll also point at the links between all religious fundamentalists. As we know, we saw that for the first time at the UN World Conference on Population in Cairo. When was that? You may remember the
93
day.
93 or 94.
I think it was 93 or 94.
94. 93 was Vienna.
Okay. So in 94, we could see the Muslim scholars of Al Azhar University in Egypt, hand in hand with the representatives of the Vatican, both allied against reproductive rights of women. And similarly, in the Beijing Conference on Women, the UN World Conference on Women, we could see their alliance to stop women's rights. So alliances are there all the time, and it's important to say that, because if I speak only on Muslim fundamentalism, which is what I know, that's normal for me to speak about that, I want everybody to realize that this is not a single Muslim issue. It's really, they have effective alliances, and we should also have effective alliances across all boundaries, national, religious, cultural, age, and whatever. So having said that, right now, you know, there have always been two definitions of secularism. One, which is adopted by many countries in Europe, is that the state should be equally tolerant to all religions. As I mentioned earlier, our definition stems from the French Revolution. The state has nothing to do with religion. It's total separation. It's not they have to be equally nice to all religions. They shouldn't deal with religion at all. So under the pressure of other European countries, which are trying to promote the equal tolerance definition of secularism, France is being really pressured, and because we have a right wing, to say the least, president at the moment in France, then he's going along. He made a terrible statement when visiting the Pope, the new Pope, saying that no teacher will ever replace priests in, you know, inculcating morality into the children. It's appalling what he says, and he's talking about positive secularism, which is a new concept which goes towards equal tolerance for all religions and gives up totally on principles of the French Revolution. So in this context, for instance, we had two cases in the last 3-4 months in France. One is that a French judge in France annulled the marriage of two French citizens of Muslim country descent because apparently the bride told her husband-to-be that she was a virgin, and it happened she wasn't. So the man claimed that she lied on an essential quality for marriage, and the judge said yes, and therefore the marriage was annulled. Now, this is going on appeal, and definitely it will be reversed on appeal because it created an outcry in the whole of France, especially by women from Muslim descent, especially among the migrants who definitely don't want this to make jurisprudence, right? And the other case is that it was like a month ago during Ramadan, a judge deferred to the claim by somebody who was accused of some crime that he shouldn't have the hearing during Ramadan. My God, I wish that courts in Muslim countries all over the planet will stop during Ramadan, but it's not the case. They just go on, you know, doing their job. But this French judge thought that it was a nice way to recognize another religion. So we see signs, and we saw these signs much prior to now in France, in the UK. For instance, nearly 20 years ago, we had the case of two students. One was from Pakistan and the other from Nigeria, both from Muslim families. They went to study in London. They met in London. They married in London under British law, right? And then the man became a fundamentalist, and he wanted to divorce his wife according to his Islamic rights, quote unquote. And the judge in charge of the dissolution of marriage agrees that they should be entitled to divorce according to Muslim law. How can a judge, any judge, anywhere, accept to dissolve a contract under rules which were not the rules under which the contract was contracted, right?
It's incredible.
And again, we fought and won this battle, but it was very difficult. We wrote to the judge telling him exactly what I said. They entered into a contract following certain rules. You cannot dissolve the same contract using other rules. This is unprincipled. Will it be betrayed? You wouldn't dare make such a decision,
never.
Right? So he said, no way, no way, I respect Islam, as if it were Islam. Mm-hmm. It was respected. So we overflowed this judge with examples of marriage, of divorce judgments from all over the Muslim world, which were all different and giving different rights regarding property, regarding children to the wife. And then we wrote him a strong letter saying, who are you, British judge, to decide which of all these Muslim laws is the real one? And if you dare choose, we'll expose you the world over. So he was scared, and he divorced them under British law, and the woman had her share of property, which she would have been deprived of if it were under what the man wanted, and she also had custody of her daughter. So you see, from long ago, we have seen this happening, that under the pretext of respecting the religion of someone else, judges, which are supposed to represent the law of the state, not any divine law, which hasn't been voted by the people, they mix up the two notions, and this pass off as respect of the other, and it's done in the name of human rights. Then I'm coming to precisely this question you were raising about the UN position. In 2007, the General Assembly of the United Nations passed a resolution on defamation of religions and their prophets. And it stipulates that member states should put their constitutions, their laws, and their school curriculum, all this should be modified to be in accordance to this statement. And immediately after, the Human Rights Council followed on that. And if you want to follow the debate that we try to initiate, just go to the website of Secularism is a Women's Issue, which is siawi.org. It's appalling that we will be facing such things and that this happens in total silence from feminists. We have everything to lose. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that all this is done in the name of human rights, which somehow implies that minority rights, religious rights, or cultural rights supersedes women's rights. In other words, human rights organizations have implicitly accepted that there is a hierarchy of rights and that women's rights come last. So we need to mobilize worldwide against this UN statement, declaration.
Yes, and I'm sure that the CEDAW committee hasn't even heard of it because they haven't mentioned it as of late, when they are always telling states that they cannot violate women's rights in the name of culture or in the name of religion, that religion has a place and culture has a place. They can respect the culture as long as it doesn't discriminate against women. So it is there. Within the UN, there are different...
Well, this was promoted by Muslim countries.
Yeah, so we have
but
to...
But it's interesting to see that at least in Europe, Muslim fundamentalists are taking the lead. They are the spearhead. But Christians and Jews in Europe immediately follow them, support their demands, because they too want to regain political power. And it, you know, in the past it was the Catholic Church trying to come back within the state in Western Europe. But now it's really led by Muslim fundamentalists, and the two other monotheist religions just back them because they benefit from it. They want to benefit from it.
And all these three religions, Christianity and Islam and Judaism, are very anti-woman. If you study their positions, they're always saying that they respect women, that they do what in the all that matters to women, the things that most matter to women are usually they are against. So we have to be careful about that.
Decision, especially because it passed in such a silence. It happened just after the cartoon controversy. Something happened in Algeria very recently, in the past 1 month. for the first time, well, we have a constitution which states freedom of belief. Six men were arrested for eating during Ramadan.
I read about that, yeah.
And sentenced to 4 years in prison and 1,000 euro per person fine. Of course, this was reversed on appeal because we complained against this decision. But it shows that this UN decision could be used because they were accused of not respecting Islam.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how it will come back. And immediately after, like 10 days later, there was a woman aged 26 who was in prison for a small crime she committed. She was accused by two co-detainees without any proof, just accused by two co-detainees to have damaged a Quran, a book.
Yeah.
And she was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
That has happened. She hasn't been. It hasn't been repealed.
It was reversed on appeal again because we campaigned and alerted. Also, each time we alerted the special rapporteur on freedom of religion and belief. So I can see how tomorrow this UN declaration will be used by these judges in Algeria, you know, to say they are being disrespectful to Islam. Therefore, you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's so dangerous. Like, I'm thinking that even what happened I think 2 years ago in Ontario, Canada, with the proposal of the Sharia law, if that declaration had existed, it probably would have passed, you know, because people would have felt that they need to respect all religions. That's why I like your definition, your emphasis on saying that that secularism is not about the state being equally tolerant to all religions, because it's a dangerous position.
What I want to point out, when you speak about this religious arbitration court in family matters in Canada, which was proposed, Jews had something of which was similar, not exactly what was proposed by the Muslims, but precisely the Muslims said, if the Jews have such a thing, why can't we have it? And the state has, instead of giving this kind of abusive rights, if I may say, to various religions, has to take this things away from religions, which is actually what happened in Canada as a consequence of the battle over Muslim arbitration courts on family matters. And they were not asking for anything else than family matters, because that's where women's rights are. Had this passed, women would have been deprived of the right of divorce. They would have had to be given in marriage by a matrimonial tutor. They would have lost the right to initiate divorce. Only husbands can initiate divorce. They would have lost the right to equal property and guardianship of their children upon divorce. All sorts of rights would have gone down the drain, which are the rights of the citizens of Canada, regardless of their religion. And what I want to say very, very forcefully is that it was a religious organization that led the struggle at that moment against religious arbitration court. It was the Muslim Council of Canadian Women, or Canadian Council of Muslim Women, sorry. I'm trying to translate from French. And they led the struggle for secular laws. Although they are strong believers, and their organization is an organization of Muslim women, Muslim believers, right? When we came in to support their struggle, I came to Canada, I spoke in various places, we sent women from Iran, we sent women from Pakistan, women from Algeria came after me, all sorts of people came to speak to the Canadians. You know? And the women's organizations Canadian women's organizations, mostly non-Muslims, let's put it that way. The people in Quebec call it pure laine, which is Canadian of, I don't know, European origin, maybe. They were very afraid to support this struggle, let alone the fact that they are not capable of initiating such a struggle in the name of women's rights and secularism. They are even afraid to support a struggle led by Muslim believers who stand for secularism. Oh, but we will be seen as, racist, or we will be seen as anti-Islam, and we don't want to be Islamophobic. What a disaster in the women's movement.
And in the human rights movement.
Of course.
I was there in Toronto when speaking in the law school with the human rights activists, and they were all saying, no, if the Jews have the right to their courts, then to their family courts, then the Muslims also have the right to their family courts. And that is always what I like what you say, that if there is a hierarchy of rights, that then these rights, the religious rights, are higher than women's rights.
I think the cowardice of the women's movement and the human rights movement needs to be denounced. Enough is enough in these matters. It's always now in the name of human rights that the worst things are committed. I'm sorry to say that, but we saw it in Algeria for more than two decades. No human rights organizations supported us in our struggle against fundamentalists. They were constantly accusing the state. I'm not defending the Algerian state, which is little democratic, shall we say? Yeah? And not respectful of human rights. But the fundamentalists are up to time worse. And because they were non-state actors, we were not defended against them. We were not supported in our struggles against them. It's appalling. It's a shame.
It is. It seems to me that we're going back. We've only had women's rights as human rights since 1993. Actually, it's been very few years that we have been considered by the human rights organizations as human. So I think we're losing our humanity again. We're again being seen as less than human, not the central to the human rights action and human rights theory.
Fundamentalists have mastered the art of using human rights concepts to their benefit. And unless this is seen and dealt with, then we are heading towards even more difficult times. And I think the UN resolution is one strong flag of what's coming up.
Well, hopefully the feminists around the world will read this declaration and start acting on it, something to do something about it, right?
I think that we should rely on the question of secularism and start with a campaign against this UN declaration and point at what it will do to women in the hands of fundamentalists.
Well, I see you as leading that. Thank you very much, my name. Is there anything else that you want to say?
No, thank you, Alda.
Thank you.